Today is the day in Florida. Many businesses reopening, although restaurants and retail stores will only be allowed to have 25% capacity. And the reopening does not apply to Florida's most populous counties, Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach.
Meanwhile, the U.S. Senate is back in session today, even as Washington, D.C. remains under stay-at-home orders and the House of Representatives remains shuttered. The Supreme Court has started back up, too, and for the first time ever, it is hearing oral arguments over the phone. We're joined now by NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson. Mara, let's start with the Senate. The Majority Leader Mitch McConnell called the Senate back into session. Democrats are not happy about it, but with the House still out, what does the Senate plan to do?
The Senate is going to do the things that it can do by itself, like judicial nominations or executive branch nominations. Those are things that Mitch McConnell has made his number one priority, and that's going to continue. They don't need the House for that.
And what about the House? Has Speaker Pelosi given any indication of when they might return?
Well, that's really interesting. She has said they might return next week. She says that she's going to follow the recommendations of the Capitol attending physician, Brian Monahan, who has said, interestingly enough, that he doesn't have enough COVID tests for even 100 senators. You know, the White House offered Congress some tests after he issued that statement. And in a rare show of unity, Nancy Pelosi and the majority leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, wrote a joint statement saying, no, thank you. We would rather save the tests for people who really need them. The president didn't like that. He tweeted, maybe you need a new doctor over there. But the different approach to opening between the House and the Senate really mirrors the red-blue divide that we're seeing all over the country about how fast and how safely the states can open up. And the Republicans in the House have been pushing to open. They've issued some recommendations they think could make it safe, more plexiglass barriers, larger hearing rooms. Some lawmakers could participate in hearings from home. So the House is still a work in progress, but it sounds like they'll open maybe next week.
Well, one of the things that people are going to be looking for from Congress potentially is more economic relief, maybe another package. But President Trump now says he would only sign another bill if it includes a payroll tax cut. How does that demand go over with lawmakers?
Well, not all Republicans are on board with that, and not all Democrats are. It's interesting. The president has said nothing's going to move forward without a payroll tax cut. Mitch McConnell said nothing's going to move forward unless corporations are protected from lawsuits around the pandemic. For instance, meatpacking workers who say they've been forced to work in unsafe conditions without protective equipment. And McConnell has also said he doesn't want to provide aid to the states. States should consider declaring bankruptcy if it comes to that. So there are a lot of red lines that are being laid down by Republicans. Democrats want aid to the states. The one area where you could potentially see some compromises on infrastructure, the president says he wants a big infrastructure investment. Democrats have always wanted that. But the bottom line is, we're a very long way away from the next package of economic aid.
President Trump also responded to news that he received two intelligence briefings on the coronavirus in January. He downplayed their significance on Twitter yesterday, saying they only spoke of the virus, he's talking about his advisors, in a very non-threatening or matter-of-fact manner. How does this play into the president's defense of his early pandemic response?
The president is determined to convince voters that he acted swiftly, despite a lot of evidence that he didn't. And he said yesterday in this Fox virtual town hall that the intelligence community is going to be coming out with a statement today saying that they didn't warn him. Now that he's put his own people in charge of the intelligence community, maybe that will happen. But what the president is determined to do is to not be seen as being responsible for a slow and halting response to the virus. He said famously it's not his responsibility. And his political advisors know that his reelection, at least right now, depends on how voters judge his leadership in that crisis. So he has been running ads. He says at every opportunity that he acted swiftly and decisively. He focuses a lot on cutting off travel from China, at least for non-U.S. citizens, which he did back in the winter to say that was a early response. But this is very important. You know, he's going to be judged by how he dealt with this crisis. So it's important that he not be seen as being warned and ignoring those warnings.
Well, and he's going to apparently start traveling again next week. Let's listen here to Vice President Mike Pence at the Fox News town hall yesterday, apologizing for not wearing a mask at the Mayo Clinic last week.
I didn't think it was necessary, but I should have worn the mask at the Mayo Clinic. And I wore it when I visited the ventilator plant in Indiana.
So that brings me to this question, Mara. If the president's going to travel and the vice president says he should have worn the mask, is the president, just briefly, going to wear a mask when he travels?
First of all, I don't know. Second of all, it's hard to imagine the president wearing a mask. It's just that if he did, that would be an extraordinary moment. But I also have to say, Mike Pence having a very human response to that question, saying I should have worn a mask, was also an amazing moment in that town hall because he really did set himself apart from the president.
NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson, thank you.
Thank you.